Good afternoon, everyone. Les, I was very excited to learn about this opportunity to assist the Office of Minority Health with this contract. Patient-centered care and dissemination science, knowledge transfer, those are the, and health disparities reduction, those are the major buckets, if you will, of projects that I've been involved in at WestEd. So this one, it's a very special one to me in terms of what the intent of it is. It involves a lot of collaboration, and the expectation is that there would be lots of perspectives on what would work in one's community. And we had a process in place that would allow us to determine what kinds of proven CER would work best in Houston versus what would work best in Chicago. And let me just, since I know I'm being timed and I have to speak about the Houston project, I want to just move things along because I think that Dr. Rashid has already talked about some of the background information that I had planned to share. So let me just talk here about the types of stakeholders that are involved. We have various tiers of stakeholders, and and their interests vary. We have the project team with the staff and consultants. Thank you. We have the steering committee that is formed that provides overall guidance and input on project activities. We have local work groups. We have our local partners. And then, of course, as you've heard, we have end users of some of the tools and information that we're going to be sharing with them. There are different things that we are disseminating on this project. We are disseminating not just information, but tools and interventions. And we have specific target audiences that we are working with to accomplish that. Our model for dissemination it occurs across a continuum. Let me just stop here and say that, at the beginning of our project, we were asked to find and identify the kinds of interventions that would meet the local needs. And there was a process in place. Each of our local hubs, Chicago and Houston, organized work groups to help to vet information that WestEd had shared with them as a result of an environmental scan. And, you know, they had also done a local health assessment to figure out what the priority health needs were and how best they should be able to use the interventions and how best to disseminate them. So once that was determined, then there was another process of how do you translate and tailor the different information and tools and interventions so that they best met the needs of the target audiences. And there was a whole process involved. There were perspectives that were shared. This truly was a participatory and still continues to be a participatory research type of initiative. And even though it's not pure research, trying to assess what works best in these communities is part of what we want to know, and that was explained by Dr. Rashid. But now, as I said, on the continuum, we want to make sure that what we have identified, that we have taken the appropriate steps to translate it so that it's meaningful, that we have identified the best vehicles and channels for disseminating it, that we have chosen the right kinds of tools. So in order for us to know that, we would have had to pilot test these things along the way. And we've collected information from target audiences that are helping us to inform not just the tools, but the interventions and the information. We're getting ready to launch our implementation phase, so we'll even learn more about the interventions collectively and how they were received by the target audiences and the benefits and outcomes that were derived from there. The process is very important to us to know whether or not we are choosing the right ways and formats for doing things. So again, before we can start to look at adoption, we have to do some testing, and then we have to look at whether or not there needs to be some refinement, and then we're looking at broader distribution, which is diffusion, which is at the end of our continuum. The stakeholder engagement is it also occurs over a continuum, but there's different levels of engagement. For some of our stakeholders, we might want to collect information from them. From others, we might want to have some type of consultation. There are others who are much more actively involved. There are others who we have partnerships with. And then there are others who, once this project is over, we're hoping that they will want to take over and actually spread these interventions and disseminate the information throughout their organizations. So we aspire to go from not just information exchange and sharing, but the actual stakeholder who wants to take control of the effort and actually replicate it in their organizations and expand on it. Some of the examples that we have used to date are relating to how we disseminate information through our stakeholder networks include the use of program newsletters, bulletins, having briefings, actually having them participate in the work groups and deciding things. You know, it's not that WestEd has said, here's a package, now we want you to go take this and do something. That's not the approach we've used at all. As a matter of fact, it's been very tailored to the local areas so that we can make sure that we are meeting the needs of the target population. We have what is called a virtual training institute where we have ongoing webinars, and part of that is designed to help build skill and capacity at the local level and across the team. We have broadened our outreach of those webinars, for example, to others who are interested and who are potential stakeholders who might want to replicate the work that we're doing. We have had a number of approaches that we have used. Typically, consensus building is the way that we approach the engagement process. And again, we have multiple perspectives. So respecting those perspectives, it goes a long way to help us to refine everything that we're doing in this process and project. The Delphi technique is something that is often used to help identify research topics and helps to build the consensus on a particular priority area. And so we might use this as an example of distributing a questionnaire to generate different ideas on research topics. It could be that we then prioritize the topics and then have a final ranking of ideas. This could go around for several iterations until you finalize what the priorities are. Other ways of engaging stakeholders and identifying priorities are through the use of concept mapping, town meetings, community forums, and focus groups. We have a lot of opportunities throughout the project to actually engage our stakeholders. And I guess it's important to know what some of the barriers are to stakeholder engagement. It could be that we have not correctly assessed how busy they are. There could be a major time commitment, so we would need to assess that in order to best customize what it is we're asking them to do for us, and so that we can have a win-win situation for them and us. It might be that they don't have adequate time from work that they could devote to the engagement process. It could be that their needs were not met, but that's why you would want to have open conversations and communications with your stakeholders so that you can know what is the best way to encourage their involvement? How can they better invest in the project? So how do we assess engagement activities? There are lots of ways to do that. We could track their participation rates. We can look at the number of contacts that they've made with us, the contact hours. We can actually look at their investments. And what do I mean by that? I'm talking about their interest in wanting to take what we have developed together and to build on it, expand on it, and to replicate it in other situations. We could assess that through the use of a variety of mechanisms. Pre and post questionnaires might be one way to do that. Having conversation is another simple way of doing that. What we have learned throughout this process is having a champion is important. If you're trying to replicate the kind of activities that we're trying to do in other organizations, you do need someone who is going to be the person who can go into an organization, help to shape the culture of the organization around even hearing what the new idea is. And, you know, I liken this to an innovation and Roger's adoption of the innovations model. You have to expose people to new ideas. There has to be a willingness to want to accept them. And you have to find out what is the happy medium between their understanding of its meaningful use to them and to you. It has to be a partnership. And you have to provide them with adequate tools in order to help them to carry out this new idea. All of that has to occur, and you have to have input back from your pilot testing so that you would know what kind of refinements have to be made. You have to do all of those things before you can consider diffusion. If you remember that continuum that I showed you, diffusion is all the way at the top, and a lot of steps have to happen in between. So now, I'm at the end of my presentation, and I'm going to try to share with you information that Dr. Aisha Moultrie wanted to share had she been here. Dr. Moultrie is the principal investigator of the Texas Southern University School of Pharmacy and Health Sciences PCC Hub. And what she is doing is very interesting. She's conducting home visits. Pharmacists going out on home visits is not something that is typical, I would say, but it's something that they have done before in Houston, and they have found it to be quite effective. And what part of what is happening in this particular phase of work is that they have built in the primary medical home model concept with the home visiting process. But as it relates to stakeholder engagement, there are a lot of stakeholders that are involved in the Houston project. They have actually engaged the health system, the Harris Health County system. And, you know, one of the senior vice presidents of that system actually sits on our steering committee. So we have not only her support in the actual implementation of the activities in Houston, but we also have her expertise on the steering committee. She also provides us with health educators who are supporting the health education component of the activities that are happening in Houston. There are a variety of other organizations that are participants as well. There are community-based coalition, there's the City of Houston Housing Authority, and let me just say that the Housing Authority is very much involved. We have 4 facilities that they will be doing home visits in. The majority of their patient population is African American, followed by Asian, and then Hispanic. And what I think is most interesting is from day one, the Housing Authority has been very instrumental in helping them to gain access to the resident population there to introduce them to the notion of having pharmacists come out and do home visits to do the assessments of the kind of medications that they're on, to assess whether they're adhering to the their medication regimen, and also to provide additional counseling. The areas of focus in terms of the health conditions in Houston are hypertension and diabetes. So in their process for building consensus, you may recall that I mentioned Westat had done an environmental scan, and this was to identify the proven CER. They engaged their work groups to review the results of the scan. They determined how many articles were appropriate for use, and they actually had a decision-making process, as I said, which was based on consensus. They actually had a detailed summary of all of the articles that were reviewed and the ranking of the decisions and perspectives of the work group members. They had meetings with the facility residents and managers to help guide and determine how long or what the duration of the classes that they should be based on. They had work group input on the number and frequency of telephone consultations, which was part of the intervention. All of the components of the intervention, the actual home visits, how they collect the information, all of that receive input from their work group members. They have decided to use a pre and post intervention study design, and they will be collecting certain biomedical information along with other health information to determine the progress of the patients as a result, not patients, in this case residents, as a result of their intervention, and they will be sharing that information with Westat. Again, through a consensus building process, they determine who would be included in their participant selection. So these would be individuals who are age 55 and older, members of the targeted ethnic groups, and you recall I said that the majority were African American, Asian, and Hispanic, that they had to be a resident of the targeted facilities they would be targeting for, and that they were taking at least one medication for diabetes or hypertension at the time of recruitment. In order for them to have follow-up telephone contact, they also had to have access to a telephone. This slide basically shows the demographics of the facilities, and I've already shared with you the percentages of them. Part of the materials that Houston has developed, they have made sure, and you might remember me saying something about cultural tailoring. Here's a slide that Dr. Maltry prepared that shows attention to language preference. Because even though I mentioned that they have an Asian population, there are different languages that the target audience speaks. So they've had to make sure that the materials that they have are representative and are accessible to that population group. They have, to maintain their stakeholder engagement, they have regular meetings, and they provide updates and feedback to their members. It's an ongoing process. It's not like you can do this once or twice. It has to be throughout the duration if you're going to have stakeholders involved in an initiative of this type in your own institutions. They have members at each facility that include resident council members so that you have actual active participation of participants who represent the community. And again, they have input and they give them feedback, and all of this will continue to occur throughout the implementation phase. This slide acknowledges that in addition to Dr. Maltry, There are two other local PIs, Dr. Ivy Coupon and Dr. Kimberly Pounds. Both of them are helping to co-lead this project in Houston, and that concludes her presentation.
Thank you, Frank.